Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, really impressed with both T-Rap and Cole yesterday. Different look in their eye, way different look in their eye. You know, very physical on their assignments, tackled well. Really impressed with their week of preparation. And then that's where it started, Steve, and then the play yesterday. So, you know, that's what I like to see.
Sean McDermott on the state of his safeties. Much easier assignment this week for Bishop and Rapp against the Jets than the Ravens. We'll see how they do against, you know, some speed on Miami. And I was just watching Justin Herbert hit over the top to Quentin Johnston. The Bills will not play the Chargers until we get to the postseason if they play them, but that seems like it'd be a decent test as well. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. All right, so a couple things. I have instant trivia for you. But before that, I want to revisit a Twitter poll that I posted on June 24th. 7:23 a.m. This was not at training camp. It was pre-training camp. The poll was, would you consider 8 sacks and a healthy for the postseason a home run for Joey Bosa? The Bills signed Bosa, 8 sacks, healthy for the postseason. Is that a home run? And the results were 89% yes. That's a home run. That's where I voted too. 8 sacks, healthy, that's a home run. Would anyone like to try to cash in? You know what? Actually, could I ask for more? Or you want to ask for more? Or are you still good with that?
What we didn't include is that he's going to have 15 forced fumbles on this season.
That's right.
He's already at 3. I think you probably want to stay with that, right? Like, if you're being smart, his problem has been injury. 2 games doesn't guarantee anything about his health. Coming your way January. So, sure, 8.5 sacks, it's not, oh, we've got a $30 million pass rusher on our hands. It's, all right, this guy's good, but I still think the priority should be his availability in January. So, just, I would still take it.
As a cautionary tale, and I'm not here to throw, you know, water on this fire. Last year with the Chargers, game 1, sack. Game 2, sack. Game 3, no sack, inactive for 3 games.
Yeah.
Like, and then he started the season with 2 sacks in 2 games, finished with 5 for the year, and he only missed 3. So
could have been banged up when he got back, though.
That's right. That's not me saying this is a mirage or it's fluky. It's just 2 weeks in, it looks great. And last year, 2 weeks in, he was in a similar spot of 9, you know, 2 sacks in 2 games. And we'll see where it goes. But 8 and healthy for the postseason, 89% of you said home run in that spot. And I'm still inclined to agree. I mean,
it feels like more of a double because after seeing him for 2 games, you feel like there is more in there than 8.5 sacks.
Yes, but also the flip side of that might be now that you've seen him healthy for 2 games, you might think, you know what? If you want to shut it down until January 8th anyway, just I don't care if you finish.
Stop right now.
I don't care if you finish with 2 sacks.
Right. Right. I mean, all the numbers look good, too. Like, he's fourth in the NFL, third in the NFL in pressure rate so far. He's getting quarterback hits. He came very close to getting Lamar Jackson for a 10-yard loss in week 1, but he dove a little too soon, didn't get him. So, you're seeing why he has value in the league for somebody that is always hurt, right?
Yeah.
Like, $12 million, $13 million, whatever he got, like, is not a lot for a pass rusher, but it is not nothing. And that's with all the injuries. So this is why he still has even any value, is when he's healthy and ready to go, he's capable of a couple of performances like that. So I still feel like the health is the number one goal for him, but I'm looking at a player that I feel like could have a 12 to 15 sack season, which does not really happen in Sean McDermott defenses. Vaughn was on his way, got hurt. Otherwise, usually guys don't play enough. And that's the other thing. 62% of the snaps through 2 games.
It's a big number.
With, by the way, 1 half of that game being like cruise control, one of the 2 games being cruise control, Like, that's a big number. That's not quite, hey, we're going to manage his workload. We're going to have a plan. Maybe the plan for him is more in practice throughout the year, and it was more about training camp, because he's playing as much as any defensive end has ever played for this team in a very small sample.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. We got instant trivia. I gave Owen the answers, so we're going to have the trivia on the other side.
All right.
So you can play along with us next segment, and we can put the answers on the screen on the YouTube stream. I don't know if you're not checking us out on YouTube yet, we've got graphics and visuals and all that. So we got instant trivia for you next segment on that. One thing I wanted to get to about this week, so we got Thursday Night Football. The Bills are Thursday night. This past week, you watched the Bills, and then Chiefs-Eagles is the game you want to lock in on.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a game that is that this week? What do you want to lock in on?
I think the
Chiefs play the Giants. It feels like we don't want to lock in on Chiefs-Giants. Is it Charger? Who do the Chargers play this week? The Broncos. That's probably the game.
Chargers-Broncos is going to be really...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
Lions, Ravens. Get the Ravens another loss.
That on Monday night.
Yeah.
Monday night's going to be great. That'll be an easy rooting interest for Bills fans.
Listen,
even Sunday night, like, you know, the Giants, maybe. Just throwing it out there.
Maybe.
Russell Wilson moonballs all day to Malik Nabers. I mean, it got him in huge trouble in overtime, but it was working before that.
But Brian Daboll, who was asked, is Jackson Dart ready? He's like, no, we're not doing that yet. And then Russell Wilson throws for 450 yards.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's a little bit of a win for him. It's a surprise, too, because the Giants' defense has talent. It's supposed to be respectable, but they got, you know,
so we'll
crushed.
See if they can be competitive with Kansas City. But, like, in terms of, like, Sunday during the day, yeah, Broncos Chargers at 4. That's the game I'd be locked in on. What is it? 1 o'clock. You want to watch Steelers Patriots?
I guess so. Yeah.
I guess. I might, you know, Colts Titans. Let me get a look at that. Let me get a look at Cam Ward, and let me get a look at whether the Colts are real at all. But, like, that's a game I feel like I could very easily turn off if it's boring.
Bengals Vikings could have been good, but we got two backup quarterbacks now.
Wentz,
Jake
and
Browning, and Carson Wentz.
Are you subscribing to the conspiracy theory that the Vikings made up an injury for JJ McCarthy?
I don't know that I'd go that far, but I might say when I saw McCarthy was out for this game, I thought convenient.
Right.
That's what I thought. This guy can't play. He's not ready.
I saw a lot of video of, like, all right, here's his last drive. Here's his third last snap. Here's his second last snap where he takes off running, and here's his final pass. And everyone's like, where's the injury?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the ankle injury? Like, maybe did it happen on his way to the locker room after the game? In his final plays, he looked completely fine.
You want a let's get stupid very quickly?
Sure.
Let's get stupid. There are coaches that subscribe to the idea that, and this worked with Josh Allen, right? Allen got hurt 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Came back. Good to
right.
go.
Right.
And that helped him somewhere along the way. I mean, he wasn't dreadfully bad like McCarthy was. He was not that. There were flashes, and I guess McCarthy had, a fourth quarter against... I mean, McCarthy was the reigning NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
It's crazy.
Which is nuts, because...
It was 140 passing yards, by the way. It's not like he was all day amazing.
So, in Minnesota, they think, you know what, let's give him the old Josh Allen four-week break. 2 to 4 weeks, ankle injury. I don't know if you can make up an injury, but I absolutely thought it was convenient that happened for them.
Maybe they're exaggerating an injury, at the very least.
803-0550. Brian in Buffalo before the break. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Roll the clock back. Miami memory, 1987. I'm in third grade. My uncle calls, doesn't like going to the games in bad weather. And my parents, this is a different age. You and I are roughly the same age. So I'm in third grade. My brother's in ninth grade. They just drop us off at the stadium like it's no big deal. There's no cell phone.
It's crazy.
And they said, yeah, today you'd be charged with child abuse for that one. But
anyways, there was a 7-Eleven at the Southwestern and Abbott, and my parents were like, all right, we'll pick you up here about 5 o'clock at the end of the game. And I still remember the night before, Jim Kelly on Channel 2 used to have, like, an Inside the Bills show, and Jim Kelly was saying that he wanted the weather to be terrible and the crowd to be super loud. And it was my first ever NFL game. The Bills were just starting to get really good with, you know, Ronnie Harmon and Jim Kelly and Bruce, Andre, and wasn't old enough to appreciate what you were watching at that time. And they shut Marino out for the first time in his career, 27-0. And it's still something my brother and I still joke around about. It was just a wild experience. And just learning to hate Miami as a third grader was something that is now being passed on to my children. And they're all going to the game Thursday night, which I'm quite jealous of their social lives, but good for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Brian. You know what you make me realize? That it's probably, I don't know, do I want to go so far as to say it's a shame this game is this week? Because a lot, he's talking about a memory there in the snow, and there are a lot of memories with the snow. And listen, it can snow for any opponent. One of the most epic snow games, the last two epic snow games for the Bills were San Francisco and Indianapolis. Right? A West Coast team and a dome team. Yeah. But the romanticism of who's here when it snows, you want it to be Miami. It could snow against the Jets. That's cool, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different when it's Miami. And for the schedule to work out where, if it was going to be a Thursday night game, you could throw that in Miami. It's not going to be too hot. It's not going to be stupid hot. No one's going to heat stroke at, you know, 8:20 in the evening. And maybe keep the Dolphins later in the year. Get him in here in December. Get him to Highmark where there could be some snowflakes for the final ever matchup in that stadium. Just saying. I don't want to go so far as it's a shame it worked out this way, but there's something about not only snowing, but snowing against Miami. Like my first Miami memory, and I moved here in 2000, 2001, and mine is the Peerless Price touchdown. He catches and runs in a Bledsoe game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a high-scoring game. Ricky Williams runs for 200 yards, I think. Peerless,
he hugs
Jim Kelly in the end zone. Like, it's a great moment. And there's snow flying.
Yeah.
You know, the snow makes a difference. All right, instant trivia when we get back. Stay tuned. It's a good one. You can play along at home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.